Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
This Sunday, today, is such a fact, Pentecost Sunday. What is it called Pentecost Sunday? Well, Pentecost is one of the three Jewish festivals. Every Jewish festival is one of celebration, one of thanksgiving, one of praise. The Jews have three celebrations every year. They have the Passover, the Feast of the Passover, the Feast of the Pentecost, and the Feast of the Tabernacle. And every year, when it comes to these three Jewish celebrations, every meal Jews would have to go to Jerusalem. They had to go to Jerusalem, and they go there to worship God. Pentecost takes place 50 days after the Passover. 50 days. And you know that the Passover is about Christ coming into this world, dying for our sin. So Pentecost is exactly 50 days after that, where Israel have a great harvest. And when they have a great harvest, on the day of Pentecost, they will come to the temple and they will, you know, celebrate and give thanks to God for His faithfulness. Because Israel sees that the rain, the sun, comes from who? Comes from God. Therefore, on Pentecost, when they have a great harvest, they will come to the temple and they will give thanks to God for His faithfulness for giving them a fruitful harvest. Do you know that every Sunday we come is this? We come because we are thankful to God for His faithfulness, for His goodness, for blessing us, for helping us, for watching over us. So every year, the Jews will go on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, and celebrate and give thanks to God. And on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, on that day when the people came together in Jerusalem to give thanks, the Bible tells us in the book of Acts chapter 2 that God sent, the Father sent the promised Holy Spirit into the earth. Jesus Christ, before His death, He told His disciples that He's going to leave them. He has been with the disciples for 3 years. He has ate with them, sleep with them, walk with them, ministered to them. You know, He has been a very great part of their life. So before Jesus died, He said to His disciples, "I'm going away." And of course, the disciple was very disappointed, very discouraged. Well, they were shocked. But Jesus said this. He said, "This is my promise to you, that when I go away, I will ask the Father. I will ask the Father to send you the Comforter." In John chapter 14, verse 16 to verse 18, this is what Jesus said. "And I will pray the Father, and He'll give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither see Him nor know Him. But you know Him. He will dwell with you and will be in you, and I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you." So Jesus said to His disciples that before He goes away, He said, "Look, I'm going to ask the Father, and He's going to send who? The Comforter." In other translation, the word Comforter means He's going to come as the intercessor, as the advocate, as the one that comes to strengthen, as the one that comes, you know, to stand by. So Jesus said that when I go away, you're not going to be alone. Say amen. You're not going to be alone. I'm going to ask the Father to send you the Holy Spirit. So on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, something powerful happened. Something powerful took place on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came upon the disciple. And when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciple, this is what Jesus said to the disciple, that when I go away, the Holy Spirit will come. The Father and the Spirit and me, Jesus said, will come and live where? Live in where? In you. And you will never be alone. So on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. And when the Holy Spirit came and dwell among his people. The Spirit of God came and lives in his people, in your heart and in my heart. Something powerful took place. The Holy Spirit changed the life of the disciple. You know that when Jesus was crucified, the disciples were fearful. They were hiding behind closed doors. But the Holy Spirit came, and this fearful disciple became, what? Bold witnesses. In fact, the coming of the Spirit is the birth of the church. It's the birth of the church. And Peter preached his first sermon. I like Peter's first sermon. If you look in the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came on Peter, when he preached his first sermon, his sermon is only about one person, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Now, yesterday, if you have watched the royal wedding, there was a preacher. And what was he preaching about? About Jesus. My wife told me he was always preaching about Jesus. And 1.2 billion people in the world, for the first time, this may be the big capture audience that is able to hear the name of Jesus repeated again and again and again. This was the message of Pentecost. The message of Pentecost by Peter when he preached his first sermon is about Jesus Christ, how he was crucified, how he was raised from the dead, and what he did for all of us. This is a great message. So Peter preached this message, Christ crucified. And people were convicted by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us 3,000 of them were saved. From the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured and the church was born, till today, the church go on marching on. Marching on. The church is an unstoppable church. No one can destroy the church. Say amen. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The only reason why the church is the unstoppable church is because of the power of the what? Of the Holy Spirit. You see, the difference between the third world country and us, we are living in a very comfortable world, a very affluent society. In the third world country, when they don't have much, not much money to go to hospital, not much money for this, not much money for that, who do they depend on? They depend on God. They depend on the power of the Holy Spirit. But when we live in this nation where we have so many things, who do we depend on? We depend on our resources. We depend on the government. Every believer, we need to come back to the place that all our sufficiency, all our resources is nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit. Say amen to that. It's the Holy Spirit that does such a great work in the life of the early church. And the same Holy Spirit, the Bible tells, that raised Jesus from the dead. Not another spirit. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in where? Now dwells in us. You need to see who you are in Jesus Christ. So when the Spirit came, the disciples were empowered. In fact, one of the early fathers by the name of Polycarp, he was 86 years old when he was arrested for his faith. And when he was arrested for his faith, they told him, say, Polycarp, you are 86 years old. You are so old. We don't want to kill you. We don't want to see you brutally martyred. All we ask you to do is just deny Jesus Christ and we will spare you. And Polycarp said this, 86 years I have followed Jesus and he has done me no wrong. How can I deny him? So what is the capacity that Polycarp was able to stand for his faith and say, I will not deny Jesus Christ? It is the power of what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that dwells in Polycarp. The Holy Spirit that dwells in each one of us. He will strengthen us. He will strengthen us in the time of testing, in the times of trial. You know, when you look at our world today, there are thousands of Christians that are dying for their faith. Why are they able to stand up for what they believe? It's because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that something powerful happened on Pentecost Sunday. And when we look at Pentecost Sunday, we have to celebrate with the knowledge of the past and with the living in the present and looking to the future of what the power of Pentecost, the power of the Spirit is all about. So when I look at the word Pentecost, when I study the word Pentecost, I want you to understand the meaning of Pentecost. What does Pentecost means? Pentecost means double portion. Double portion is given to the church. In the Old Testament, when they celebrate Pentecost, the people will come to the temple, and in the temple they will present a thanksgiving to God for the great harvest. And when they present a thanksgiving to God, they are supposed to make two loaves of bread. And they are supposed to wave the two loaves of bread in the temple before God. So, this two loaves of bread, what does it present? This two loaves of bread present the church. That because of the Holy Spirit, Jews and Gentiles are put in together as one body, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one church. Because of the work of the Spirit of God, God has took the Jews and the Gentiles. Because of the work of the Holy Spirit, when we come to the house of God today, we don't have classes, say amen. We don't have the middle class, upper class, or lower class. We come together in this house, in the church, as the children of God. God do not have different class for children. God has only one. All children saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. So Pentecost show us that when they wave the two loaves of bread, is that God, your Spirit has come. And because your Spirit has come, the church is birthed. And because the church is birthed, whether it is Jews or it is Gentiles, no matter what nation we are, together we are the church of Jesus Christ. There is the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, in Australia, every March, we have Harmony Sunday. This is when the nation is trying to bring people of diverse background, diverse culture, you know, in diversity, trying to bring them together so that there can be what? Harmony. But you know that it is not possible to have harmony through program or through activities. The only way that people can come together and share the same heart, the same belief, the same faith is the power of the what? Of the Holy Spirit. It's only the Holy Spirit that birthed you and birthed me and birthed those who believe in Jesus Christ that can join our hearts together, that we are able to see we are the church of Jesus Christ. We are the brothers, we are the sister of Christ. What do you turn around and tell? Look at someone. He's your brother and he's your sister. So on the day of Pentecost, when they went to the temple, they will just wave the two loaves of bread before God. But in the two loaves of bread, the two loaves of bread is made up of two tenths of flour. And not just flour, it is called fine flour. So what does it mean? Two tenths in the Bible speaks of double portion. Say the word double portion. When the Spirit of God comes, double portion has come into your life. This is what the Spirit of God does. This is what Jesus said. The work that I do, greater work than this will I do because I go to who? Because I go to my Father. And the only way for you to do the greater work is that I'm going to send who? I'm going to send my Holy Spirit so that you are able and you are empowered to do the greater work. Pentecost, the church's birth, the removing of social status, racial status, economical status, we all become children of God, the church. And out of the church, God said, I'm going to give you my Spirit, and my Spirit will bring double portion into your life. I want you to believe in double portion for your life. Say amen. God is not a stingy God. God is a generous God. So double portion has come into your life. If you're only living in single portion, it's by time you believe in your double portion. I look at 2 Kings chapter 2. Elisha came to Elijah and said to him, give me a double portion. And Elijah replied to Elisha, what you ask is a hard thing. It's very hard for me to give you a double portion. In the Old Testament, it is very difficult. But in the New Testament, it has become possible because of Jesus Christ. And Elijah, when he was taken up, he threw down his mantle, his clothing. He threw it down. And Elisha saw him taken up, saw the master taken up. He torn his cloth, you know, he took off his cloth and torn it apart. But the Bible tells us that when Elisha took the mantle that is left by the master, Elijah, when he took it and he put upon it, double portion came into his life. And he was able to do twice as much signs and miracles. This is the picture of Jesus Christ taken to the heaven. Remember the book of Acts, when Jesus was taken up to heaven, and the angel said to them, the same Jesus that is taken up will what? Will also return back. But wait in Jerusalem for the what? For the coming of the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 24, verse 49 says, when the Spirit come upon you, he will endure you with power. The word of God is this, the Spirit will endure you with power. The word endure means you will be what? You will be clothed. That when the Spirit of God comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will clothe you with power. Why does Jesus say, greater work than this you will do, because I go to my Father in heaven. And I want you to know that the double portion is already given to the church, that we must live in the double portion of God's blessing. We must live in the double portion of God's anointing. We must live in the double portion of God's power. And many times when we look at ourselves, we say, God, I don't have it, God. I don't have it. I don't think, God, I have it. You know, I'm not good enough for it. Who am I? But you need to believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That means if you are a student, you need to believe that the Holy Spirit is given to you to empower you to be a greater student. Say amen. If you are working for someone, you need to believe the Holy Spirit is given you to be a greater worker. If you are a father, you need to believe the Holy Spirit is given to you to be a better father. Say amen to that. You see, we limit the Holy Spirit and we just think the Holy Spirit is on the Sunday morning when we come to church. No, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and He is here to empower us for every day, every life situation. So Jesus tells us that when I give you the Holy Spirit, I don't take it back. Say amen. It is given to you. So, the Spirit of God empower us. I'm not a gifted person in terms of speech. Some people, they are very gifted. They can talk. I'm not. If you know me, I'm a shy person. It's hard to believe that I'm a shy person. I mean, I'm a person who you cannot even get me. You cannot even get me to stand in class to read. That's what I am. And when I stand behind here, I may prepare all the things that I want to speak. But I'm telling you, without the Holy Spirit, it's nothing. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. So you need to realize that the Holy Spirit has come and double portion has come into your life. As the Spirit of God empowered Moses to deliver Israel, as the Spirit of God empowered Jeremiah to write the scripture to give hope to Israel, as the Spirit of God empowered the disciple who has got no money, no prestige, no position, to many people when they look at them, who are they? Wonder the Bible said God used the foolish to confound the wise. He used the weak to shake up, to wake up the strong. God's Spirit is not limited by human capacity. God's Spirit is only available and He will use any heart that is willing to be used by Him. So the Spirit of God comes. Double portion. Disciples became mighty and useful in Him. And the disciple was able to continue the work of Jesus and they turned their world upside down. Brothers and sisters, it's so easy for you and for me to be caught up with our own resources, with our own sufficiency, with what we have, that we forgot to rely in the power and in the person of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, Pentecost means double portion. Pentecost means harvest time. It's the feast of harvest. On the day of Pentecost, in the feast, the Jewish people will present to God the first fruit of their wheat harvest. It's no coincidence that on the first message of Pentecost that Peter preached, 3,000 souls were saved. Peter preached about Christ and Christ crucified under the unction, under the anointing, under the power of the Holy Spirit. When he spoke, the word that was spoken by Peter became so powerful like a sword that began to convict heart. 3,000 were saved. Telling us, harvest has come. Jesus told his disciple earlier, he said, lift up your eyes and look at the harvest. Look at the field, for they are ready. They are white for harvest. Then Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are a few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the harvest. And when Jesus told the disciple to look at that, the harvest field is ripe and ready. It was a prophetic insight of what is to come, the coming harvest. You know, Jesus sent his disciple two by two. Then he sent 70 of them. And they went to preach about the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us they returned back to Jesus and they reported that the sick was healed and demons was cast out and there was great victory and the power of darkness was challenged. But if you look at the scripture, they came back with a good report. There was no record of any souls that were saved. But on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, harvest came, 3,000 were saved. Since the day of Pentecost to today, we are living in what time? We are living in harvest time. If we don't believe that we are living in harvest time, then we will not harvest souls into the kingdom. You see, the Bible is quite clear. There is seed time, there is water time, and there is what? Harvest time. I believe for Grace City Church, we have been sowing seeds, say amen. We have been watering seeds. It's time for us to believe that it is time to harvest seeds, say amen. That whatever we do, whatever activities, whatever outreach we have only one purpose, the harvesting of souls into the kingdom of God. The previous Sunday, when the Nolamara campus celebrate Father's Day, Mother's Day, we ask those that come on a Saturday, one of the class that come on a Saturday, to present a musical guitar. I mean, I thank God for Lynn and Tony and the team. They are so faithful to teach these people. And one of the things we did was ask the children, student to come and ask them to get their father and mother to come. And you know, they came because fathers and mothers want to see their children play. They came to the church and they stayed throughout the service. And if maybe it's for them the first time they experience church, the first time they are able to hear about the message of Jesus Christ. We are believing. We are believing in water time, seed time, water time, and harvest time. And I want you to know that it is time that we believe that harvest has come. If you have been talking to your friend, if you have been witnessing to your friend, you have been praying for your friends, I want you to know that there is a time that you must ask them, would you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Say amen to that. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I used to have a sales rep. And I found out that he never sells. He talk a lot. He go and present about the forklift. He talk, but he never sell. So I went out with him and found out why he never sell. You know why he never sell? He does everything right. The only thing he never do to ask the guy, would you buy from me? And it's so easy for us to present Christ, you know, in our life, in our testimony, forgetting to ask them, how about receiving Jesus Christ? You don't have to do it in the very rough way, but you can do it as the Spirit prompts you. And when their heart is open, they will receive Jesus Christ. Pentecost means harvest time. That the Spirit of God has come upon you. And Acts chapter 1 verse 8, that you will be endured with power from on high, and you will be my what? My witnesses. That God's Holy Spirit had come upon you. You are a witness of Christ. Witness Christ with your life. Witness Christ with the words that you share. And when you witness Christ, believe. There is a seed time. There is a water time. And there is a harvest time. The God that empower you to sow the seed. The God that empower you to water the seed. Is the same God that will empower you to harvest the seed. Say amen to them. And you need to believe. You need to believe. Pentecost, what does it mean? The coming of the Spirit is called the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace. The dispensation of the Holy Spirit. We are living in the time of the Holy Spirit. Dispensation means ordering and management of the world by providence. Whose providence? God's providence. That in, if you look in the Bible it tells us man beginning and man end. And the Bible tells us that, you know, the man past, man present, and man future. And Pentecost is not a single event of Bible history, but it is the events of God's timetable, that God took Jesus up, and God sent the Holy Spirit. And when He sent the Holy Spirit, that period is called the sixth dispensation. We are living in the sixth dispensation. That means we are living in the final hour, the final day before the second coming of Jesus Christ. We are living in the time of His grace. And the thing about the church, we must not talk about grace in terms of, oh, if I do it wrong, if I sin, God's grace is there for me. No, no, no. We must talk about grace as this is the period that God has poured His Spirit so that those that do not believe in Him may experience the grace of His salvation. That when Christ is preached, when we share Christ, that their hearts will be opened, and by the grace of God, they will come into what? Salvation. That is called the dispensation of grace. That God has given us this dispensation where His grace is poured upon us as His people. His grace that empower us to become witnesses. His grace that empower us to become harvester. His grace that empower us to do the work of God. His grace that empower us so that we are able to go and knock at doors and hearts will be open. The dispensation of grace is not forever. Not forever. There is only a limited time before the door of salvation is closed. The picture is this. Noah. How many years did Noah preach? 120 years. God said, my spirit will not strive with man forever. 120 years he preached. When Noah and his family and the two by two enter the ark, what happened? The ark door closed and judgment came upon what? The earth. I want you to know, church, we are living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit, the dispensation of grace, not for our personal consumption. Too much grace that has been preached in the church is about personal consumption. God's grace has come so that we will do the work of God, so that in the period of grace, when we can minister, when we can share about Jesus Christ, in urgency we do it, because there is a time when the door will be closed. And when the door is closed, it is closed. The dispensation of grace. The Old Testament, the Holy Spirit only come upon certain people. The king, the priest, the prophet, those that are anointed to do the work of the tabernacle. But because of the dispensation of grace that Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit. I will ask the Father to send the Comforter. The Spirit has come upon us that you and I who believe in Jesus Christ, we have the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God comes upon us, we are empowered to be and to do. Not by power, but by what? But by my Spirit. You're not asked to live the Christian life with your own strength, with your own ability, with your own wisdom. You're asked to live the Christian life with the empowering grace of God, because the same grace that saved you is the same grace that can empower you to be and to do. So that you and I, who are the children of God, can become a witness, a testimony, a light to those living in darkness. Pentecost. What does it mean? The word Pentecost is 50. 50. I'm not asking you how old you are. 50. 50 is the number that represents liberty, freedom, and deliverance. On the day when the Spirit was poured on the day of Pentecost, that means liberty, freedom, and deliverance has come upon God's people. On the day when the Spirit is poured, that means we have moved from the old covenant of law, to what? To the new covenant of what? Grace. Don't live under the old covenant of law. We need the law. Without the law, we will never know we are a sinner. We need the law. The law is a schoolmaster. But the law do not give you power. The law do not give you life. We need what? The Spirit. It means that the Spirit of grace has now come upon you, and the Spirit of grace has come to minister to human hearts, that men who need liberty, freedom, and deliverance from the power of sin, from the power of darkness, from the power of spiritual bondage, they can all be broken. That prisoners of war, prisoners of Satan, is now being set free by the power of God. Jesus said this when he started his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, downtrodden, to proclaim the acceptable years of the Lord. When the Spirit of God comes, and that's why worship is a very important part of our coming together. When we worship God, we are allowing the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, to open up, to minister to hearts. See, when the anointing comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, I've seen it. Demon-possessed people will manifest because they cannot stand the power of God. See, the Bible tells us very clearly, when we come together, and this is something I want to encourage you all, when we worship God, press in to His presence. You know, I heard of the camp. After the camp, how people are touched, how people are healed. I was in the Tamil Connect, and our dear sister Jacqueline was sharing that 2 years she has deep depression, but in the presence of God in the camp, the depression is broken. Nothing, no medical, no psychology can do some of this work which only the Spirit of God can. It's so easy for us when we live in this modern society where we begin to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's so easy. In the Western world, they said this many years ago. In order to become a more friendly church, which is not pray in the Spirit too much, we should all tone down. We should become more friendly. What the West needs to see is not entertainment, say amen. It's not how smart we are. What the West needs to see is the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to come back to where we see God as who God is. He's almighty. He's all holy. He's all great. So when the Spirit of God comes on the day of Pentecost, liberty, freedom, and deliverance has come. That's why Jesus said that you go in my name. When you pray for the sick, they get healed. When you cast out demons in my name, no other name except the name of Jesus. And the Spirit of God will work. But you need to what? Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and declare. The Spirit of God is this power. And the Greek word for this word power is called katos power. Katos power in Greek. It means power to exert control. That God has given you the power. Didn't He say that? Whatsoever that is bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever that is loose, that is the power that God has given to us. The authority that comes from the Holy Spirit, that katos power, the power that is able to exert control. Power that is able to overcome resistance over our enemy. The enemy comes for only one purpose, to steal, to kill, and destroy. No one can stop the enemy, not by psychology, not by medical. The only way to stop the enemy, you need the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. The unseen world can only be stopped by God, who is both visible and invisible. I want you to believe, as a child of God, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you are set free. Say amen. Whom the Son has set free, He is free indeed. Don't live in lie. Don't live in deception. Live in the what? In truth. You are set free. And don't ever say that I can't. I can't overcome this temptation. I can't overcome that temptation. Don't ever say that. To sit there is to deny the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ, you are empowered enough to say no to sin and to temptation. That is the power that God has given to us. Finally, what does Pentecost mean? Pentecost means one baptism and many filling. You see, we tend to live in this frame of mind. I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And now that I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit, I have it. I got it. Oh, it's good. I have this first experience being born by the Spirit in terms of my salvation. Now I have this second experience. I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit. I got it, man. And it's so easy for us to stay in that. I got it. But the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring you to the rivers of God, is to bring you to the deeper things of God, so that you will begin to grow in the power of the Spirit, so that you continue to be filled. That's what Paul said, don't be drunk, but be filled, and continuously be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe this thing, brothers and sisters, that the Holy Spirit has come to change our life, to empower our life, so that our worship will become empowered worship. Say amen. So that our life will become empowered life. So that if you are a father, you become an empowered father. That's what the Holy Spirit comes. And how does that empowering comes? That empowering comes when we continuously recognize, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Lord, I'm praying to you and asking you to fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. David recognized when he sinned against God, he said this, God, don't take your Spirit away from me. Because without your Spirit, I'm nothing. And this morning, I want you to know, that's what the Holy Spirit has come to empower us, so that you are continuously empowered. And Paul said in Ephesians, be filled and continuously filled. You know how he said, how do you be filled and continuously filled? The key is the second verse. The second verse says, in order for you to be filled and continuously filled is praising, singing, and making melody in your heart to God. So every day when you sing, when you make melody in your heart, you know, of praising to God, the Bible says each time when you're doing it, you are filling yourself afresh with the Spirit. That's what Paul said. You see, many of us think that, oh, for us to be filled and infused, I need to come to a church service. I need to have a special time. No, every day, according to Ephesians chapter 5, you know, verse 19, every day when you are praising, you are singing, you are making melody to God from your heart, you are being filled with the Spirit, because the joy of God begins to flow out of you, the well of salvation. We need to practice more. Say amen. When you are driving in your car, pray. Sing to the Lord. I know when you are in the bus, you can't do it. In the train, you can't do it. They think you are mad. But when you are in the car, you can do it by yourself. When you are at home, you know, housewife, when you are at home, vacuuming the house, washing the dishes, why don't you sing to the Lord? Why don't you praise Him? Because this is the overflow that the Bible talks about that we so needed. The promise, in the last day, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughter will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see vision. In those days, I will pour out my Spirit even on servant, men and women alike. The Spirit has come. Pentecost is here. Let it not be just a Sunday. Let it be the experience of our life. Why don't we pray? Dear Jesus. Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Like the woman with the issue of blood, you need to press in. You need to press in. If you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit, press in for those who want to be filled and continue to be filled with the Spirit. To the thirsty, the Spirit of God is saying to the bride of Christ, come, come and come. Now be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, Jesus. Why don't we stand up this morning? Thank you, Jesus.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.